This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us, Greg Batchelor. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm doing good. Joni, how are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And Greg is not only one of our really good friends, but he's also a franchise business owner with Real Property Management out of Colorado. And you know what, Greg, we really look up to you. I think like when we first started our property management company, right? Like we looked to Greg Batchelor for advice, right, Sean?
You were somebody that we, I remember when you ran that you did that seminar in Colorado, and that's where I really got the aha of like what this could be, and I wish you would have continued to do those, but that was I got a lot out of that, and I don't know if you remember that or remember that event.
I do remember that well. Those were fun. That was a fun economic summit. We had a great time that weekend.
So. Yeah, you invited him into your office, and then afterwards there was a major storm, I think, in Colorado. I was like, oh my gosh, don't get into an accident, Sean, on the way back.
Yeah. Totally true. That was a serious blizzard. Yeah, and that was like in April or something crazy. Yeah. It was a late spring blizzard. Yeah, that was nasty. We had people having a hard time getting into town, out of town. That was crazy.
Well, it definitely was a good event from what I hear. I wasn't there. But anyway, I just wanted to give a kind of a brief bio on Greg. So Greg Batchelor moved to Colorado with his family back in 1977. He graduated from Gateway High School in Aurora and earned his bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of Colorado, Denver. He lives in Colorado, studied in Colorado, and built his business right in Colorado. Real Property Management Colorado started in 2007 and has grown from one full-time employee to managing over 14 properties with a full-time staff of 30 outstanding employees, each hand-selected for their experience and commitment to customer service. Greg and his team have worked with thousands of clients over the years, including individual homeowners, private investors, institutional investors, large banks, and government organizations. Greg's couldn't be prouder of his work his company has done over the years and the team he has built. Again, Greg, thanks again for being with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your background? How did you get started in property management, right? Who wants to be in property manager?
That's a great question. So I had a funny story at one point to go along with that. Someone asked that question when my mom was nearby, and I said, you know, I think somebody must have dropped me. I think it was probably dropped on my head to be in the property manager business. And the funny part is my mom chimed in and said, well, there actually was a time, Greg, just before you were one, you were just on the bed and I was getting, you know, ready in the bathroom. And all of a sudden I heard this thud, and I'm like, ah, mom, it's telling the whole story. So confessions of a parent. So that's a funny story. The real story is I lived in the corporate world for quite a while, kind of started my career down that path. My last role in the corporate world, I was a West Region VP of sales for an IT outsourcing firm, and became clear that spending 100,000 to 125,000 miles a year on United Airlines airplanes and 125 nights a year in Marriott hotels, that wasn't really the life that I wanted to live. Had a wife and daughters at home, and it was time to look at something different. So I jumped into the entrepreneurial game. It's kind of crazy. 18 years ago,
wow.
Started a real estate. I know, it's crazy. Started a real estate company, a mortgage company, and a title company initially. That was in 2004. And then in 2006, it was pretty clear there was a housing mess coming our direction. It was pretty clear through the lens of our mortgage company. We could loan people $400,000 through, you know, Alt-A subprime loans, that we would be concerned personally, the three of us, about loaning them $100 and actually thinking we're going to get it back, but the banks would loan $400,000. And it was very clear that there was some kind of a housing mess coming. So we sold those entities at the time, jumped into property management, thinking all these people are going to get foreclosed on. A family of six is not going to move into a two-bedroom apartment. They're just now, instead of homeowners who are getting foreclosed on, they're going to have to be home renters. And so we jumped into the property management space in 2007 and have been cranking away ever since.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that story.
No, and you've grown it from, I think Joni said 14, but it was 1,400 drawers. But you've even been much larger than that, right? At one time, so it's you've built quite a big property management company over those years.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we at one point in the ballgame we were just over 1,600. We had a Wall Street company that we were managing for, and they had told us, they said, hey, we're only going to have you guys for a couple of years, and then we're going to take this in house. And so we did. We jumped. Jump from the 16s down to the 13s when they kicked out.
Sure, sure. What intrigued you to join and maybe your other companies were franchises, so maybe that's why you, but I'm curious why you jumped the franchise model when mm-hmm. you decided to go with Real Property Management.
Yeah, great question. So when we were looking at shifting away from real estate, mortgage, title, and looking at property management, so had my real estate license, was at a place where could have jumped pretty easily into property management and just done it on our own. The thought processes were, if we start with a learning curve here, because you don't know what you're doing, or you jump into a franchise where they've got management agreements in place and operating systems, your learning curve is going to start at a different place. And mm-hmm. so that was really the reason that we opted to move in that direction. Back in 2007, and looked at a couple different franchise models, liked what we saw in Real Property Management. I think we were franchise number 8 or 9.
Wow. It's kind of crazy.
I think I just saw something recently. There were over 300 franchises across America. So yes, we were one of the
OG.
The
OG, yeah, the OG franchises.
The OGs, that would be accurate.
So did you guys have like board, like meetings and like all the franchises? You could sit literally around one table.
Yes. I think the first franchise meeting, there were just 8 of us. Wow. And it was the 8 of us franchises that were in the system. And then, of course, it began to grow, you know, from there. But yeah, from a franchise council or from a mastermind group, it was whoever was in the system, that's who you were in the mastermind. So obviously, as it's grown, we've developed, you know, great friendships with you guys and others across the country that we can brainstorm and mastermind things together.
Yeah. Is it everything you thought it would be? Or I'm curious now, looking back, like, give us retrospectives, like what you envisioned going in, and like, did you envision where you are today?
Great question. So we knew, I think one of the initial suspicions jumping into this business was working with tenants was probably going to be tough and we were challenging. And oftentimes it can be. We have some amazing tenants in our portfolio mm-hmm. and we have some ones that are challenged. And every single person that knows property management or that's been a landlord, they know that all too well. Mm-hmm. I think one of the challenges that we didn't anticipate is that the owners can be a challenge you know, as well. Just with some pretty difficult demands, tight budgets, you know, all the above. And so it's an industry that's an interesting place for us as property managers to be in, and that we're trying to facilitate leveraging a relationship between our client who has hired us mm-hmm. and the resident who's renting a property for us, and different levels of responsibility that we have to each one of them. And it's a bit of a balancing act. And obviously, as the owner of the company, I get some of the toughest escalations. The rest of my staff will take care of the rest of them. But we do get some feisty ones every once in a while.
Yeah. Joni's had her fair share of those. I just let her take those. that's why I'll stay on more of the development side, and I'll let her deal with the problem. Yeah. I remember one time she had somebody come into the office and just screaming at everybody. And so Joni sat her down, and she ended up like almost slapping Joni across the table. And so
we see it all for sure. But you know what? And part of it, and I think you can see this great, like we have such an amazing team, and so do you. So, I mean, you know, putting the right people in the right seats, right? And, and you can kind of talk a little bit about how you've created your company, your culture, and how you went about putting those people in the right seats.
Sure. Yeah, great question. So one of the things, obviously, 15 years ago when we started this, we weren't even sure what the seats looked like, to be exact.
Right.
So that's been a learning process over time. But as our model has evolved, we've got a better gauge from every role in our organization in terms of who fits in the right spots. And then we run personality profiles on mm-hmm. those folks to make sure, after going through the interview process, that we indeed have the right folks in the right seats. And it's important. Our culture is incredibly important to us. And obviously, as the owner of the company, it's my job to set culture. Mm-hmm. But with 30 or so employees, I can't do culture by myself. I have to have the rest of the team
right.
on board doing that, with us. And so over time, we've been really, really fortunate. We have a lot of our employees that have been with us, 10 plus years of this 15-year, run. And we're grateful for them and grateful for the way that they continue to contribute to the culture. As we bring on new employees, it's pretty clear what the culture is in our organization. Which is one, we call it our CARES model. CARES is an acronym. We care for our clients, our affiliates, which is our vendors and our realtor referral partners. We care for our residents, we care for our employees, and we care for ourselves. Very important, especially in with some of the mental health challenges, physical health challenges going through COVID, that S in the CARES model has become more important all the time. So we're very, very important. And people who embrace that on mm-hmm. our team, we just talked about it in our management team meeting this morning. People who embrace that and get that, understand the importance of it, and continue to propagate that. And for other folks that come into our organization, and it's all about them, and they care about that S, i.e. the self, they don't care about anybody else, they don't end up staying very long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you mind repeating that one more time? I've never heard that before, and I love it. What, can you repeat the acronym again?
Yeah, you bet. We refer to ourselves as an organization that cares. C stands for our clients. A is our affiliates or associates. R is our residents. E is our employees. And S is self, taking care of ourselves.
That's awesome.
I love that.
So, being in business for 18 years, I'm just curious, as a business owner, what do you find most challenging I don't know if there's anything that keeps you up at night, but is there, stuff like that you're always concerned about or that, and then second to that is if you follow up with, would you have done anything different over the last 18 years looking back?
Yeah, great questions. So with regards to the first one, I think that the one thing that does keep me up at night is the people equation. It's making sure that we have the right people mm-hmm. in the right seats. We have some people that they are so selfless. They just give and give and give, and they take great care of those first four categories, and they're not taking care of themselves. And then we have mental or physical health challenges that go along with that. And mm-hmm. so trying to find that balance and making sure that our employee base is taking good care, of each other. Obviously challenges that we run into periodically with, leasing or maintenance and something didn't get done at the property or didn't get ordered fast enough or, whatever the case may be. And so from those particular standpoints, that the people equation is the most important part. And me as an owner, if I don't care about these people, then it doesn't matter what I ask them to do. They are watching to make sure that I do care for them, that they do see that my actions follow my words. That it's not just some cool acronym that we post around our office, that's truly what we live by. And that I'm the one that needs to model that and do that the best. And I acknowledge to the team today as we revisit it, as we often do, that none of us are ever going to do that perfectly. Mm-hmm. That's impossible because we all carry the category, classification called human, which means we are not perfect. And so from that particular standpoint, we just ask people for a perfect effort every day. Perfection is suffocating. A perfect effort, that's what we're asking. That's what I ask of myself as I walk out the door every morning to come to work. That's what I ask of myself at home with my family is just a perfect effort. And so that's the piece that has been most challenging, especially during this pandemic. And obviously just some of the hiring challenges that are out there, retention challenges, people just burning out mm-hmm. is taking care and doing everything that we can to take care of our employees. I think, Sean, to answer your secondary question then, like what would I have done, looking back differently, I would have probably diversified a little bit more. And I think you guys have actually done a masterful job with your various businesses. I think that's where the teacher 10 years ago gets to turn the tables the other direction. I get to learn from you guys. So in this world, you know, there's something to be said about longevity, but let's not kid ourselves. Dinosaurs also went extinct. So this dinosaur in the RPM system has to make sure that we are innovating, that we are changing with the times. And I think you guys have done an incredible job on the RPM front and with your, you know, fix and hold models and some of the other businesses that you mm-hmm. have developed. I think that's been brilliant on your part, and probably hindsight being 2020, I would have done more of that initially early on. I tend to be a laser focused guy. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm laser focused on, I'm laser focused on. And obviously this has been the laser for the last 15 years.
Yeah. And there's some, I mean, pros and cons of that too, right? Because we haven't been as laser focused as you. So there's
a balance. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely, and I think we crossed, and we talked about this mm-hmm. Just last week, was just, you know, when we were throwing axes, was the, you know, we probably crossed that other side where it's like, you know, we spread ourselves too thin and took on a company that in hindsight, it looked right at the, but it wasn't the right move for us. And we could have better put all that energy and money and stuff into just growing what we had already. So right. I agree. There's pros and cons of both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For yeah. Sure.
Well, now that we're talking about balance, I kind of want to hear your side. How do you manage building a business and managing family as well?
Yeah, it's a great question. So that has always been something that's been really important. My wife and I just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yes, grateful. Incredibly grateful that she said yes 30 years ago and she still said yes today. Being married to an entrepreneur, that is not the easiest of assignments. You guys have an interesting dynamic. You're both entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. And so that carries, you know, its own set of dynamics. But my wife is not an entrepreneur. And so that's always been important. We've got three daughters. Our oldest daughter is married. I've now have a son-in-law in the equation, a granddaughter in the equation. And so family is incredibly important. And there comes that place, as any one of us as entrepreneurs know, these businesses or any of the endeavors that we are spending time in, they can suck the life out of us. And at times when we have to, when we're in scramble mode, it does suck the life out of us. Mm-hmm. And then our families get a little bit of the short straw on that. But I think what's been important over the years is to make sure they're not always getting the short straw. Mm-hmm. They have to get the best straw at times. And that requires some intentionality. That requires some time just taking this electronic leash that we call the smartphone.
Yes.
And just setting it down, disengaging, and just having time mm-hmm. To spend mm-hmm. with our family and our friends and taking time off to recharge the batteries, to vacation and read good books, sharpen our brains, mm-hmm. You know, all of those fun things. So, but it doesn't come without intentionality. Otherwise the vortex, I call it the vortex. It's the work vortex and it will just suck you in. Because as entrepreneurs, we always see the next thing that needs to be taken care of, the next thing that could be done better, or the next thing that we should evaluate. We're always seeing those things. And so it becomes important, to place the appropriate amount of emphasis on work and then be able to take time, with family as well.
That's great.
Do you like communicate that? Is there like, do you have like family dinners, or is there any way that you try as the leader and the entrepreneur in the house, try to communicate sometimes with those, like, here's why maybe last week was, or this coming up week, I have, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so like, I might be distracted, but you know, I'm planning on Saturday, Sunday, just turning it off. Like, I don't know. I was curious because, like, you know, Joni and I, we work together, so she knows exactly what's going on. If I'm having a rough day, she knows exactly why. And we have to communicate to our kids sometimes with that. But I'm just curious with when they're not as involved, maybe as Joni and I are.
Sure. Now, it's a great question. And a lot of that I do communicate, especially from a calendaring standpoint. Like if I have evening commitments or, you know, whatever, I'll let them know, like, hey, I've got an investor forum, or I've got a realtor event that we're, you know, co-hosting, or, you know, something along those lines. Then I will let them know that. By the same token, one of the things that I, when I don't have those things going on, is I do everything that I can to make sure that I'm home by 6 or 6:30 to have dinner. with them. Now, it may not be, I don't have all my phone calls or anything wrapped up, but we do. We sit down for dinner as a family. These things right here are not allowed at the dinner table at our house. They have to be set someplace else so that we do just have time just to engage as a family and dialogue, you know, together. And if there are a couple things here or there that I need to get back to, then I'll jump back to it. But I typically try to make sure that by 6:30, my day is as wrapped up as it can be. And then we'll pick the ball back up in the morning.
That's awesome. So you're talking about, you know, the next thing, right? So I want kind of want, now that we're talking about next, what is your next and where do you see yourself, you know, goals wise in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, great question. So we still know that we have a lot of room to grow right here in the Front Range of Colorado, which we consider Colorado Springs, up to Denver and then up north of that to our Northern Colorado marketplace. And so we still really feel like we have a lot of opportunities there and are looking at a few different acquisitions right now, a few different bigger investor, you know, accounts to bring on, et cetera. Mm. So, you know, I'm 51 years old. I still, Lord willing, still have a lot of years left in the tank, a lot of energy. And so continue just to deploy that and run fast, but run smart, doing my best to do that and continue building the team that we have and having them build their teams to where we as an organization just continue to get better all the time. That is always our focus.
Yeah.
You know, I've said to my team a number of times, you know, we don't produce a widget. We don't produce iPhones or just looking here at the desk, staplers, pens, and phone systems. I see a picture over my shoulder and we don't produce widgets. What we produce is a service. And so our service is only as good as the people that we have providing the service. And so building the team, developing the team is critically important.
Nice. So how do you guys, at Real Property Management Colorado, because I've, you know, we get these just to share outside of Real Property Management, we have the corporation provides or the franchisor provides, you know, like reports monthly or weekly on who's has the most sales or who has the most new accounts. And you can pretty much see Greg Batchelor at the top of those reports a lot of times.
You can tell that Sean's always looking, where's Greg Batchelor at this month?
So you do well at the business development side, but I'm just curious, you know, how do you guys set yourself apart? You know, what's some of the intentional things that you do in your company to really, you know, make you guys stand out in the market you're in?
Yeah, great question. So one of the things I'm going to point back to the CARES model. One of the things that we see so much in our industry, well, new clients that'll join us from another property management company, and they will tell us, man, I just felt like I was a number there. Nobody cared. I leave a voicemail. Nobody calls back. I leave an email. Nobody calls back, emails back. And so really that's one of the, quite honestly, one of the biggest things I think differentiates us is that we do care for these folks. You know, while we've been sitting on the phone, there's an escalation or while I've been on this call, my phone was ringing and I already know who it is because I talked to this lady. It's an escalation and it's a scenario where it's a messy one, but all of a sudden she thought she had a place she was moving into and now she doesn't. And so she's escalated through our entire organization mm-hmm. and our investor just switched gears at the last second. These folks are moving from out of state. And so I can always just point back to the fact that, hey, sorry, too bad, so sad. The investor changed his mind, but we're an organization that cares. And so we are scrambling to find her another place. We are scrambling to see if we've got something in our portfolio. If it's not, we'll go outside of our portfolio. And so that's been the biggest thing is our clients know that, our realtor referral partners know that we will do everything that we can to make a situation right. And that does not happen much within the property management community.
Mm. Absolutely.
I agree.
How do you get your team members to, is it just on the hiring process or how do you get the team to have that much devotion or commitment to caring, I guess?
Yeah, it's a great question. A lot of them we try to ascertain during the interview process. Are these people that care to begin with? Because we have found that over the years that that's a pretty tough thing to teach. Either someone has inherent in their nature that they tend to be more caring and customer service related, or they're not. And so we try, just through a series of questions in the interview process, to try to get to the bottom, you know, of that. So I joked with my oldest daughter, who is in the nursing world. I'm like, hey, if any of your nursing buddies ever decide to bail on the nursing world, will you send them over my
way? So true. That's awesome.
I'm like, wait, what better than a nurse? You've been caring for people like at a serious level.
That's so true.
I'll take a nurse. I can teach them property management. If they're willing to do some of the things nurses have to do day in and day out to care for people, I can help them on the property management side. So that's a big part of it, is just trying to find the right folks and then just encouraging folks to do that. And if they legitimately care, they will stay around our organization. They'll thrive in our organization. And it's interesting for those that don't. And we have run into some folks that talked a good game during the interview process, sounded very caring, but really the only person they cared for was the last person in that acronym, which is themselves. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't fit.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So we have a lot of young, you know, entrepreneurs, listeners. And so if you were just starting out and could go back in your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, great question. For a lot of entrepreneurs, making sure that you get, especially early on, get as much experience as you possibly can through other entrepreneurs working in the corporate world, gleaning other skill sets, you name it, before you jump into sole entrepreneurship, maybe a partnership, perhaps, maybe other colleagues that you, they're of like mind, that you'd move down a path, you know, of doing. But I would say early on, learn as much as you possibly can about the various components that we as entrepreneurs have to deal with. You know, I've never been in the HR world, but as entrepreneurs, HR is really, really important. benefits programs and 401ks and insurance on company cars and protocol and all that fun stuff. So just learning, I think, would be the number one thing. Read good books. Take the time to read good books, develop skill sets, you know, those kinds of things.
Love it. What are some of your favorite books?
You know, it's interesting. So faith is always important, has always been important to me. So at any given time, I have a faith-based book going on, and then I have a business-based, you know, book going on. I read a good book the other day called Good Profits. That was a fascinating business book. I thought that one was very well done. This is kind of interesting. I took a stroll back in time and read a book from back in my college days, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Was spectacular.
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed rereading that, because I hadn't read it in a number of years. Reread E-Myth and E-Myth Revisited recently. So yeah, I don't know what 2022 has been about, but I've been doing some rereads.
Yeah.
So
I think the biggest thing is like going back and rereading something, because it's you're in a different state, different maturity, different, and you look at it in a total different light. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know we've read together with you guys, Simple Numbers 2.0, you know, those are great books. You know, there's a lot of good season folks, you know, out there. One of the books I read right at the beginning of the year, Who Not How. I thought that was a great book. I read that one. Actually, that might have even been in the fall of last year, but all those have been great ones.
That's awesome. Do you participate in any masterminds or groups or business mastermind kind of groups?
So I'm really fortunate. There's an organization called Vistage. I think it's got about 20,000 members worldwide. And it's basically a peer advisory group. And so I'm part of a Vistage group here in Denver. There's 17 of us that are part of this group. None of us are competitors. And so it gives us all an opportunity to help evaluate and coach each other on each other's businesses. And so I'm able to provide inputs into the other 16, and selfishly, I love when the other 16 are providing inputs, you know, into my business. We meet once a month, And then we have what's called a Vistage chair. It's the gentleman that leads our group. And then I have a monthly one-on-one with him. Just had that yesterday, actually. And that's been a spectacular group to be part of. We talk everything from sales, marketing, accounting, HR, you name it, operations. They're all different kinds of businesses, very diversified. So you get different perspectives. Mm-hmm. I love when we get together, like we did last week, as a, you know, RPM mm-hmm. group to brainstorm and mastermind. That's obviously laser focused on property management. It's also nice to take a step back from a Vistage standpoint and look at things outside of the property management world that we can apply inside right. the property yeah. world.
That's great.
Very nice.
Well, how can listeners that maybe they're looking in the Colorado market for needing property management or investment properties, how can they reach out to you or follow you?
Yes, absolutely. So probably the easiest, they can call my cell phone. That is this little thing that I was holding up earlier. My cell phone is area code 303-888-8826. Again, it's 303-888-8826. That's probably the easiest, or they can, we are out on Instagram, Facebook, you name it. Our website is 303rent.com. That has all of our social media, you know, links, as well. So love to be of assistance. The Colorado market is incredibly
yes.
good,
yes.
Right. So one of the things during this pandemic, obviously when we were going into like February of 2020, I think a lot of us in the real estate world wondered if the world was going to stop mm-hmm. At that point in the ballgame. I know a bunch of our realtor partners were thinking, okay, it's been a good run. I'm done. I'm going to have to go get a job. I'm out. and it's incredible what the market has done these past
yes.
couple of years in the Denver area. And there is investor money pouring into what we call the Front Range, which is from Colorado Springs up to Northern Colorado. It's the I-25 corridor that goes straight north-south in between. And there is so much growth, so much investor opportunity here in the Denver area. The economies in all three marketplaces are spectacular. A lot of investors that are bullish on it. And it's not just local. There's a lot of out-of-state money and even out-of-country money that we are that we're seeing here in the Front Range.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Sean and I mean, we know some of the best, you know, property management operators in the country. And Greg, you're one of those. So thank you so much for your knowledge. And so again, guys, if you guys are looking for property management in the Colorado area, reach out to Greg. He has an amazing company and team, and or any other location. For the most part, we know him everywhere. So reach out to us if you need a property management company. We can guide you in the right direction, right?
Yes. So, and he just gave out a cell phone. So that tells you
exactly
what type of a person he is. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Greg, for joining us today. You know, I think you delivered a ton of value, and we always appreciate you and everything you have to share. So thank you again.
Thanks, Greg.
My pleasure, Sean and Joni. It's always good seeing you guys. Have a great day.
Thank
Same
you.
To you. Thanks. See ya.
Talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. Talking. But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.